All that's coming up later in the program, but first, protesters gathered outside of Michigan Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson's home over the weekend. Some of them were reportedly armed. The police were called. Benson says the protesters arrived as she, her husband, and her four-year-old son were decorating for Christmas. The group that arrived was angry about results of the election of Joe Biden in Michigan. They maintain that election was stolen. Joe Biden won Michigan's vote by more than 150,000. This is not the first time that threatening actions and messages have come into play. State Representative Cynthia Johnson of Detroit reported threatening messages sent to her after a committee hearing on election results. Monica Palmer, a Republican member of the Wayne County Board of Canvassers, also received threats after a contentious meeting to certify election results. Here to talk with us about how her office handles threats of violence against elected officials is Michigan's Attorney General Dana Nessel. Attorney General Nessel, welcome to Stateside.
Thanks for having me.
What can you tell us about the protest at Secretary Benson's house this weekend?
Well, it's very alarming and concerning, you know, and honestly, I would say that the behavior that I saw in regard to the event Saturday night was an affront to basic morality and decency. It's behavior that's masquerading as a protest, but that's not really what it is. It's an attempt to instill fear into our public officials. And we're seeing it over and over again. And I don't care if you're a Democrat, a Republican, an independent, you know, what have you. No public official should have to endure that kind of protest, especially at their home under the circumstances under which this occurred. I don't feel as though this is First Amendment protected activity. We have, you know, certain guidelines and restrictions on the First Amendment, and you can't just protest anywhere, anytime, any way in which you like without also violating other laws.
So several reporters said on social media that there were people among the protesters who were armed. First of all, do you have any information about that? And second of all, would it matter to you if they were?
Well, I think that it makes it more concerning when you know that you have people that are, you know, belligerent. They wait until the dark of night to go out to her private residence. They are shouting, you know, through bullhorns. Some of them are referring to her as being a murderer. And to know that when you're armed, of course, you have the ability to inflict harm in a way that you otherwise would not. Normally, you're behind closed doors in the safety and security of your home. You have less to worry about. Of course, it's more threatening when you know that somebody can simply pull out a weapon and shoot into your home and cause death or great bodily harm to you or your family. Yeah, I think that escalates it.
What does Michigan's law say about intimidation and free speech and where the difference lies?
Well, again, you know, as much as we have broad First Amendment protections, they do not allow one to use the cloak of the First Amendment as a guise under which you can perform illegal activities. So credible threats, for instance, credible threats of harm or violence, great bodily harm, those are not acceptable. Those are never okay. If you are talking about even protests of the nature that we saw, again, you know, you cannot go into a private neighborhood at nighttime and break all other kinds of ordinance infractions, such as trespassing. You know, it appeared from the videos that they went onto her lawn and her driveway. There are noise ordinances that do not allow you to use some sort of an amplifier. And a number of these people had bullhorns that they were shouting through that echoed all throughout the neighborhood. And then there are disorderly conduct types of charges that I would argue could also apply to an event like this. But certainly in terms of the types of threats that we've seen, not just against Secretary Benson, but also I would say certainly Representative Johnson has been playing a number of these threats that she's received. These are threats to kill her, and they're illegal. You absolutely cannot use an electronic device to disseminate threats of violence. And I will say that we made it clear that we were investigating threats that were made against the Republicans that were on the Wayne County Board of Canvassers, because those are, if true, and if those can be verified, those are absolutely illegal acts, and no public servant should have to put up with that kind of behavior.
Is anything going to happen to the protesters who were at Secretary Benson's house?
Well, that remains to be seen because there were no arrests that were performed. And normally how it works, you know, we are a prosecutor's office, among other things, at the Department of Attorney General. We handle criminal cases all the time, but we need for there to be a warrant that is brought to our office when an arrest is made on the scene. And it's hard because as much as you can try to utilize videos to discern what, if any, infractions were committed, it's much easier when there's a police officer on the scene that actually either makes an arrest or they issue a citation right on the scene. And then they make notes as to what the infraction was that that individual violated. But it's a lot harder when all we have are videos that are, you know, in the dark to try to discern that now that the event is over. I would say, though, for the future, I would be very wary if I was anybody thinking of going to a person's personal private residence late at night to engage in that kind of behavior. I do not believe that it ought to be tolerated. And I believe under the circumstances under which it occurred on Saturday night, as I indicated, I believe there were a number of infractions.
Are you frustrated? You know, if there weren't any arrests made, what is to stop protesters from taking away from this situation? Why shouldn't they go and protest in this manner again?
Well, I hope that me making these statements to you today and understanding that I'm going to be working with law enforcement, firstly, definitely in the city of Detroit and in Wayne County as it pertains to the acts at Secretary Benson's home, because I did hear some of those individuals say that they intended to come back each and every night. So they should be cautious and they should be forewarned that there will be a greater police presence in the event they do that again, and that they should be concerned that if they violate any state law or they violate city ordinances, that they're going to be held accountable. And, you know, I'm sorry that that wasn't done on Saturday night. And my understanding is that the police arrived on the scene after that had been going on for quite some time. And I don't know if they dispersed immediately or pretty quickly upon the arrival of the police. I think that normally the approach of the police is just to try to get people away from a scene if they possibly can, but you'd really have to ask them that question. But what I want to make clear, whether these are acts that occur at the Capitol, where you have armed gunmen who are in the building, whether it happens to be protests against, you know, Department of Health and Human Services rules, regulations, orders, whatever it is, just because you have the intent to protest something that you don't like doesn't make your activity legal. And oftentimes it is not. And so when we talk about civil disobedience, you know, civil disobedience has a long history in our society. But what we have to generally expect to happen is that if you commit crimes during the course you're protesting, then you have to be held accountable legally because there are certain things that are still against the law, no matter what the reason is that you're engaging in that conduct.
You know, if there's an upside to this year's elections and everything that's come with it, you know, maybe it's that so many people participated in the democratic process. And some of the protesters have tried to cast it as this is just Americans exercising their legal rights and exercising their opinions on the election. At what point does democratic participation reach a place where it is inciting people to do things that are not legal?
Well, we know that it's inciting people to do things that are not legal. And we know that in part, the individuals that were charged with their plot to kidnap and later execute the governor were motivated in part by those who were talking about liberating Michigan or fighting back against what they called a dictatorship, for the governor having the audacity to try to protect state residents against COVID and the many terrible harms that come to people as a result of being infected or passing it along to their friends or family members. You know, we know that this kind of harsh, angry rhetoric, there is cause and effect. And we have continued to see this. And I can't understand why we don't have more Republicans out there who are disavowing this type of conduct and who are rebuking it and saying loudly and clearly that this sort of conduct should not be tolerated. And I would be very careful if I were them, because they have to understand that if this kind of quote unquote demonstration can be done at the private residence of a Democrat, certainly it can also happen at the home of a Republican. And I don't think they would appreciate that very much, nor do I think that this should happen to anybody. And we need to have each and every Republican in this state, whether you are a local official, whether you're a state official or a federal official, indicate that Joe Biden is a winner of the election, that it was a free and fair election, and that people need to stop this nonsense and move on the same way, frankly, the Democrats did after the 2016 election. You might have seen protests take place in public squares, but you certainly didn't see people going to people's homes, at the homes of election officials, to scream and yell and threaten them.
The perception is that in recent months, protesters have escalated the kind of threats that they're making, and they have escalated their methods. Do you think that's actually true? Is there more going on now than your office might normally be dealing with?
Absolutely. I know that it's true. Many of the things that we're seeing now historically have not been seen. And, you know, I thought it was interesting since I took office, for instance, when we have had discussions in my office about security measures for me and the death threats that I've received, I asked the individual who was in charge of security for my predecessor, Bill Schuette. I said, well, you're probably used to this. You probably see this all the time. And you had plans in place, of course, to protect General Schuette. And he said, no. He said, that was nothing like what we're seeing now. The threats that are made to you routinely were virtually never made to Bill Schuette in his 8 years of office. So I know for a fact that there's a big difference now than there was before.
Dana Nessel is the Attorney General for the state of Michigan. Thank you very much for talking to us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.